Mic check. Mic check.
Welcome back, Titans fans, to another edition of MTM Radio. It is Pro Bowl week, and we actually have Tennessee Titans in the Pro Bowl. So I am your host, Brandon, joined with me by August and Matt. So how's it going, August?
Man, it's going a little better. Had a little fight with the sinus infection because, God forbid, we have an actual winter here in Tennessee this year. But feeling a little better today. If I sound a little nasally, that's why. How you been, buddy?
Oh, good, good. Kind of a little bit of the same, sore throat, you know, that Chinese hoax has had me in shorts for the past 10 days, so that's been good. And now it's cooling off, and I'm sure I'll end up with some sort of head cold or something. But we'll be all right. The show must go on, brother. Matt, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. My picks for the championship games were both terrible. So that's something, but definitely the weather drops below 40 degrees here in January, we all get sick, and it's been like 60 degrees every day, so maybe we're getting a little soft. I'm not sure. I think we're all feeling it, though.
Nah, we stay hard as a rock around here, buddy.
Yikes, Tone.
I know. It's off season. Well, Matt, you brought up the championship game pick, so let's talk a few minutes about the games. Pretty competitive, weren't they?
Oh, yeah, and we didn't expect those two teams to win. It's just really good to see Tom Brady get another victory in a big game, and, you know, it just really sucks to watch those assholes win every single year, but it was kind of fun to watch their offense. Like, they looked unstoppable. The Falcons also looked unstoppable. So I think that that's probably the two best teams right now. But I kind of feel like overall maybe the level of play for the season was a little bit down. Because I think some teams from the last few years will be better or could compete in the Super Bowl. But I think that we got the two best teams right now.
Yeah, I think so too. August, what was your take to the championship games?
Man, the guys at Football Outsiders have been saying since about the middle of the season that this year, when you looked at the analytics and their analytics allow you to sort of translate teams through the years better than most, that really this was a down year for play. You know, it seemed like it, and the analytics sort of bear it out across the NFL. There were no great teams this year, really. And I think really not just the conference championships, the entire playoffs bore that out. I mean, the Houston Texans made it to the second round. Part of that has to do with attrition and injuries, sort of throughout the deal. But this was just a kind of overall mediocre year for the NFL. And, I mean, you saw one team that is amazing on offense and has stayed pretty healthy in terms of, you know, their running backs, their quarterback, their big-time wide receivers, all those guys, you know, for the Falcons I'm speaking of, are healthy. And they were able to dominate a pretty ragtag Packers team. I mean, once again, Aaron Rodgers can't spend big games throwing the ball to Jared Cook and a guy named Geronimo and have no running game and a defense that can't really, you know, force turnovers or make a critical stop. They had a guy who runs a 4.7 40 that I think was an undrafted rookie last year out there trying to cover Julio Jones. That's not a recipe for success. And then when you look at the AFC championship game, I mean, that Steelers team, they looked like they were beat before they ever got to the stadium. I mean, I know they had flu running around. I know, of course, the fire alarm got pulled and that dude got arrested. Apparently, you know, that happens pretty much every time you go up to Boston to play them. But, you know, I mean, that game looked like it was done before the coin was flipped, especially when Le'Veon Bell went out. But I don't know how much he would have helped considering that Steelers defense, you know, couldn't get a stop at all against that New England offense.
I think the Steelers lost the game when Antonio Brown Facebook Live Tomlin calling the Patriots assholes.
I honestly
thought the Patriots were going to win regardless, and they are just so good at finding motivation in places that you wouldn't find it. I really didn't give them a chance. And 50 minutes into the game, they'd scored 9 points. So, I don't know. I obviously, you don't subscribe to stuff like that. But of all the teams and all the coaches and quarterbacks and all that, I really think they're probably the worst one to give any bulletin board material because they just all fall in line. But there was one thing I did kind of want to touch on. And this isn't me trying to bash our coaching staff. I just kind of wanted yours and Matt's opinion on this. I heard Brian Finneran talking on the radio to some of the local Nashville guys because, you know, Trubisky came from the Falcons and Malarkey was the offensive coordinator. And they were talking about how Matt Ryan had been in the same system for 7 years, and then Kyle Shanahan got there, and they were kind of – it wasn't necessarily talking too much about the old offense, but how last year he was picked up on a microphone on the sidelines with Shanahan saying, I cannot wait to know this offense inside and out because we're going to kill people with it. And then obviously they have greatest show on turf type numbers. Do you think that there's been growth with Ryan that, you know, he just kind of made a leap or do you think that there could be something to be said about it being a superior offense than what Malarkey and Trubisky had had there so long? And even after Malarkey left, they said that they kept that offense under Mike Smith. Dirk Cutter was running it. And I don't know enough about the X's and O's, and I haven't seen enough Buccaneers games to wonder if they're running a similar offense, but the terminology and everything has stayed the same. And then you kind of lead into the Temple coach that we hired. You know, they were running that same offense, and the Falcons offense has just been so exciting, and it kind of got the wheels spinning. Like, well, is that going to be the path with us? Is, you know, Malarkey and will be like our Mike Smith, and then for us to really kick it into high gear after 4 or 5 seasons, are we going to need it, or am I just off the rails here, August?
I mean, I'll say, look, of course, if all things were neutral, if all coaching contracts got blown up, would I take Kyle Shanahan over Terry Trubisky? Yeah, I would. I mean, Kyle Shanahan runs a very smart offense. His dad created an incredibly smart offense. It's a derivative of, you know, what Gary Kubiak has been running successfully with mediocre talent at Houston and then at Denver before he retired at the end of this season. You know, has been pretty successful. It's made some quarterbacks and some running backs who didn't have all the talent in the world perform extremely well. But I guess I will say the one hesitation that I've had coming out of this year and all of the excitement about it, and that's not to poo-poo on that at all, but the one thing that Malarkey, I think, really has to show us was that this wasn't an amazing effort just to get back to an 8-9 win team. Is this offensive philosophy one that you can take that next step with and really, you know, befuddle teams and do kind of what the Falcons did going into that game? Yes, they way overmatched them in personnel, but they also beat them in the film room. They beat them with the preparation. I don't know if they're there yet. However, I'll say I think Marcus is a much smarter, much more accurate quarterback and has a much higher ceiling than Matt Ryan does overall. Matt Ryan, to me, is a little more of a Joe Flacco type. You know, he was probably going to have one season, maybe has one more left in his career where he's MVP or close to MVP caliber. But, you know, there are limitations, I think, in his game. He had a really good match with Shanahan. I don't think you can draw that direct one-to-one comparison. I mean, I will say also a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, they've got a couple of great running backs. They've got an offensive line that fits that system, and we'll talk about one of the key members of that offensive line here shortly. But, you know, they Julio Jones and Mohamed Sanu are great options on the outside. I mean, that's one hell of a 1-2 punch. You know, it's not just easy. It's not so simple as to say, oh, you know, we can, you know, you can say that the team got better when Mularkey and that offense left. A lot of things, you know, sort of changed in the meantime. But I mean, I just don't think it's that simple, and I don't think that you can hold that against Mike. But it is a legitimate question to ask. You know, I don't think you could draw a judgment from it, but it is certainly something he's got to prove. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. What's your thoughts on it, Matt?
I definitely don't think you can compare the two. Shanahan, as an offensive coordinator out of 9 years, has got his offense in the top 10 five of those years. And a lot of that has to do with passing yards. And I think Matt Ryan has had his basically coming out year. I know it's kind of late in his career, and he's had some good seasons, but I never thought that they would be contenders because I've seen that franchise. So I think if you look at Shanahan's past success, I mean, he produces good offenses. There have been years where he's had some terrible ones, but out of 9 seasons, he's had 5 or 6 really good ones. So I think that it's not fair to compare the two because we saw Mularkey and Trubisky have a lot of success this year. And I think that if they would have had a few more breaks come their way, you'd probably see the Titans in the playoffs and they'd be getting more notoriety. And the any negative talk about them would probably be gone. But I don't think you compare the two, but I think it's kind of everything combined.
Well, the reason it really got my thought process going, and I wanted to specifically ask you about it, is you, unless you've came down from that high a little bit, you are all about us drafting Mike Williams, right? Are you still feeling that way? Like he's your pick, ride or die at 5?
If we're picking at 5, yeah, that's my pick.
Okay. So
if you trade, then
I was thinking, because I was kind of leaning towards that way, even though initially going in before, and we'll have plenty of time to talk about the draft. I know I'm kind of on the tangent a little bit, guys, so just humor me. But I was thinking about Julio Jones, them trading up to get him, and, you know, did it work out? Because I'm still kind of scared to death about taking a wide receiver really high. So this is Julio's 6th season, and there's a chance of winning the Super Bowl in a couple weeks. So obviously, if there's a Julio Jones-type talent, and that would be enough to get us over the edge, if you would think that he would be like Mike Williams, an integral part in getting us to this level 5 years from now, I would be all for it. But then I got to thinking, like, well, he really – well, then I got to thinking about, like, the offensive change. And then it was just kind of wondering, like, Julio had some really big years, but as an offense, they didn't really click like they were now. And I got to thinking, is our offense going to – would it be worth taking a stud wide receiver at 5? And I still don't think I think Mike Williams being compared to Julio Jones is probably not accurate, but it just made me wonder, like, would we get the most out of a stud wide receiver like that, or would we be better off just kind of – because our offense did well at times, you know? But I think he's kind of the a wide receiver is like the new car thing. Are you following kind of what I'm getting at, Matt? I feel like I'm going in circles here.
No, I'm following what you're saying. I got you. I think that my view is just that, you know, adding that big receiver would take it to a new level. Nothing against their offense. I think that they did a fine job, but I totally understand what you're saying.
Okay. Well, I it was just kind of topical with the Falcons making it to the Super Bowl and us having the connection with the offense and our coaching staff. But we can move on to that. We got some Titans actually playing in the Pro Bowl. As you guys know, Lawan, DeMarco, Brian Arakpo, Casey, Delaney all made it. And Marcus would be there if they didn't, you know, if he didn't get injured, he was going to be an alternate. So now you informed me as before we recorded that the stud that is Trevor Siemian is going to be playing in the Pro Bowl, which I think is kind of crazy. But so did the NFL moving the Pro Bowl outside of Hawaii, is that why Mariota got his leg broken?
Yeah, no, I'm not going to necessarily draw that comparison, although, I don't know, maybe there's some a little bit of karma to it. But, I mean, yeah, the fact that it's in Orlando, I think, you know, Mariota would have been, like, kind of one of the early alternates. Derek Carr is another guy. You know, there were a lot of dudes who were just way too injured for when things came in, for when things ended up happening, and you just get kind of so far down the list. I mean, Joe Flacco, I think, ended up getting less picks than Trevor Siemian. So, part of it, I think it just makes it unattractive for the guys to go to Orlando, because it's not the reward vacation that, say, going to Hawaii would be.
Yeah, and I think that that Siemian actually passed on his 100th invitation. I don't think anyone wants to go to Orlando. But it looks like maybe Tyrod Taylor, the guy who's about to lose his job, could be the person filling that spot at this point. So the Pro Bowl is just at an all-time high here.
And we will say, I think that's the third quarterback spot they're trying to fill. And there shouldn't be a third quarterback spot in the Pro Bowl, period. Really.
Right. You know Rivers doesn't want to play in that game.
I think he's going. I think I was reading earlier he's going to get on a flight, go to there for the skills competition, fly back to San Diego to take his daughter to a daddy-daughter dance, and then fly back to Florida to play in the game.
Oh, man. Is he going to wear a San Diego Chargers helmet? How funny would that be?
I hope so. And I guess he'd have to...
same uniforms for next year. They're going to wear the exact same uniforms.
Lame.
Oh. Oh, yeah. And...
They're gonna wear Dodgers uniforms after that logo.
That would be cool. A little throw.
That's an alternate. Little baseball pants.
But the weird thing is it the daddy daughter dance? Like he was only taking one daughter. I'm wondering if they had some crazy, you know, football competition.
Yeah, he's got
between
more kids than the Dodgers does.
I think so. I think
he's
he could play a full
Dodgers,
11 on 11. Football game with daughters, and then the quarterback of the winning team he takes to the dance.
That's the price of having 16 kids. Sometimes you got to make those.
I guess so. All right. Well, so there's some skills competitions and stuff this year, which I think is actually cool. You know, I'd be in favor of them doing away with the game and just really leaning into the whole competition thing and, you know, just having it, a fun thing with maybe fan interaction, or I had been saying the past couple of years, I'd be fine if they brought back like the Rock and Jock that MTV used to do, and they played softball and mixed celebrities in, or the basketball game with like the 30-foot basketball that was extra points or whatever. Have you guys caught wind of any of the skills competitions and whether we're going to get to see any of our guys playing in them?
I know that for the dodgeball, we're not going to get anyone in there, but it would have been nice to see LaJuan playing in that. But with the whole skills thing, like, that sounds awesome. But I remember as a kid, this dude from, I think he was from the Lions. I'm not really sure exactly, but they used to do a sand football game. And they'd have, like, old vets as quarterbacks, and it was really cool. But he, like, broke his leg and is out for his career. Like, that ended his career. So I'm kind of glad we don't have anyone playing in that. Like, Marcus would probably be, like, a first-round pick in that as well. But, like, God, that's the only thing I can think of. I think his name was Robert Edwards. And that is, like, I want nothing to do with that, but I am going to watch for sure.
Are you watching, August?
Let's see. Man, I used to love watching those things when I was a kid. Hang on, I'm actually scrolling through an article right now. And some of the guys who are going to compete in different things. Skills Showdown, it's the 10 years since they've had it. Let's see. Well, Charles Bentley used to be a good offensive lineman. He's going to be one of the guys in it. Oh, Titans legend. Although they list him as a Charger fullback, Lorenzo Neal is going to be in the bench press competition. And it would not surprise me at all if he wins that, because that dude was a brick shithouse his entire career, pardon my French, and continued to be as a trainer afterwards. Also, former Chargers linebacker Sean Merriman going to be there. He had the infamous Code Red by Jeff Fisher.
Yeah.
He's probably taking
Vince Young out.
Yep.
I still remember.
Let's see. I don't know. I think really, if the NFL is going to do anything with the Pro Bowl, other than just make it like, you know, just, I don't know, sort of a baseline commercial, do it almost like the NBA and the NFL or the NHL do. I mean, I think we've all, anybody who's into the sports science stuff, and, you know, the sort of quiet rumblings that they need to bring back a second bye week for each team. Here's my theory. How about after week 9, there's a bye week for the entire NFL, and you do the Pro Bowl then, but it's all guys who are 25 and under. I mean, I don't think anybody wants to watch, like, you know, the vested veterans and that sort of stuff. Just have it be like a Future Stars game sort of thing. You'll get a lot of guys who are kind of, you know, on the bench, not contributing a whole lot for teams. Have them go out there and play sort of a flag football type game. And you can, you know, hold it at a time when people are actually paying attention instead of the way they're doing the Pro Bowl now. What would you guys think about that?
I mean, that definitely,
I'd be in favor of
the NBA.
It.
Yeah, the skill, the rookie sophomore game, or the whatever they're doing now with like the World versus USA, like that's cool. But I definitely don't think that would be cool for football. I think they should kill the whole thing, and it sucks to, because you, like, it's almost like you kind of get your hopes up, because there's nothing else on and you miss football, and then there's that game right before the Super Bowl now. And that was stupid to move it up. And they really should just kill it, because nobody wants to play in it. I don't want to watch Tyrod Taylor play two quarters. I don't want my players, they're getting hurt possibly. I mean, it's good to see our players get recognition, but I hope that they don't play that much. And I would not mind them just completely killing this game, because it doesn't mean anything to me. And you know, a bye week in the middle of the year, one's already hard enough. You know, when we're on bye, I feel like I'm, like, missing out on the party. And so, two, I would be great for the team, but not for me as a viewer. So I'm off on any type of Pro Bowl game, anything at all.
If it was up to me, I would move it after the season, maybe the week after the Super Bowl, or – I know it'd be hard to get everybody together, especially guys who weren't under contract, but, you know, a little deeper into the off season when we're really starving for football, maybe around the time the combine's going to start or you know, a couple weeks before it, get rid of the alternates, get rid of the game, just have it, you know, a few days, a free trip for the guys that make it, and then do skills competitions, softball games, dodgeball, whatever they feel like doing, get some fan interaction. I'd probably put it back in Hawaii. That way the players would really want to go. And you know, let them still earn their bonuses, maybe give them, I don't know, give them all the recognition and accolades that would bring. And then do what the NHL has always done so well with their All-Stars, is make it an All-Star weekend. And then when you want to know who the fastest skater is, they have that competition. Who's got the hardest slap shot? You know, I'd love to see, you know, the fastest wide receiver race the fastest cornerback. See who could throw the football the farthest, kick it the furthest, who's the most accurate,
or like
all that, and then just
or like you, oh. You like you put those sensors in like the dummy sleds. And have running backs line up and hit them, and be like, "Who's got the, you know, who hits the guy the hardest?"
Yeah, and like,
oh yeah, Josh Nick Lineman
was the Josh Mormon was the punter that won the speed competition. That was cool because he like would cheat and like knock over the dummy because he's a weak punter. But like, you know, going back to recognition, how do you make the All Pro team and not get named to the Pro Bowl? You know. Did Conklin not get shut out by the tackle from the Bengals?
Yeah,
dude,
he did.
Pro Bowls for offensive linemen have always been one of the most ridiculous things because there's no stats, and fans don't really understand, especially when offensive linemen and a lot of linebackers do. So linebackers, you know, just always – Keith Bullock, which forever got shut out of the Pro Bowls because he didn't get sacks.
Well, that reminds me of Marc Gasol winning Defensive Player of the Year and not being named All-Pro. It's just I don't get that. It makes no sense to me. This whole thing's kind of a joke.
Yeah, and the changes kind of feel like half measures to me, you know. I don't like it. I don't like it the week before the Super Bowl. I miss the Super Bowl being at the end of January. I'm still not used to being in February, and I'm sure this is probably the 10th year or something that it's been in February, but it doesn't it still feels off to me. The I just wish they would, like you're saying, Matt, just scrap it, but not scrap it completely, just go back to the drawing board, come up with something, cuz honestly, I'm probably not going to watch it. And maybe that'll change a little bit because we got the guys we have in the Pro Bowl. I absolutely love, and getting to see them play a little bit one more time before we get into the dark and awful off season might be worth it. But as it stands right now, my excitement level on a scale of 1 to 10 is probably 0. What's yours, August?
No, it's kind of always been at a 0. I mean, it's more so an accolade for guys to sort of put on the resume, I think, than it is a real moneymaker, and I mean, really something that beneficial for the league.
You, Matt, scale of 1 to 10?
It could not be any lower. Could not be any
lower. Okay. Apparently my scales from 1 to 10 have 0. I'm not good at math.
What sucks is that they get millions of viewers.
That's why they do it.
12 million people watch this game. And I understand their side of it and our side of it, but it's probably just people watching it to complain. I don't get it. We can move on. It just, this game always kind of irks me.
If the NFL has to keep the Pro Bowl and they want to do something interesting with it, make that one of the games you put in another country. Like, put the Pro Bowl in England, and then the next year it's in Mexico City, and then maybe the next year it's in, like, Germany or one of those, you know, Germany's had, like, a weird fascination with NFL football over the past couple of years. Try and expand your brand that way by getting these guys into markets with people who don't usually see them. I think players would be more incentivized to go. Those companies like Nike and Under Armour that, you know, give these guys contracts and stuff would love to see them play in different markets. So you can at least actually use it as a marketing tool.
Maybe
you're on to something, August.
They could
put them over there and have them play soccer.
That's something. You could have the game. I understand growing the game and trying to get global reach. They could play it in a parking lot outside of a Walmart in Anchorage, Alaska, like Pitbull had to do, and I still wouldn't care.
No, but at least then it wouldn't be us. It would be for, you know, like it would be for those burgeoning markets. So their exposure to the NFL
like
is
that.
Not just the Browns and the Jaguars.
Yeah, that's got to be rough. Well, didn't we send the Bills over there too?
The Jags, Steelers,
yep.
I think we once. Dolphins.
They what?
Yeah, the Dolphins
were there.
The Jaguars. The Steelers went once, which I think now their owner is about to be the ambassador to the UK. I think that's a whole other thing. But I mean, you know, like put a Pro Bowl game, and I'll show you. Like, move that
so
around. Guys would go for that vacation.
Yeah, they would. But that's how they can get Roethlisberger home without his charges falling in. Catch my drift.
the ambassador would pull some strings, right? So that would work out. All right, guys, I'm done with the Pro Bowl. Matt, did you have anything else you wanted to talk about before we wrap up just the short episode this week?
Happy late birthday to Titans savior John Robinson, because we did mention it last week, and you know, hopefully we won't pay for this, but definitely happy late birthday to that guy.
Oh yeah, good one. How about you, August? Anything else?
yeah, guys, we missed a monumental move in the AFC South. Jim Irsay came out of his stupor long enough to fire Ryan Grigson.
Oh, yeah. Good one. Are they going to get Peyton Manning in there?
Hell no. Peyton Manning don't want to come to that. But, I mean, can we at least talk about the fact that the Jim Irsay sent them both to basically a marriage counselor?
I just want to imagine
and
that
the results
for one
of,
second.
And the result of that being the counselor was like, dude, I think you got to get rid of Ryan Grigson.
Like
some people, it was said it was just a ploy to so Irsay could get him prescribed pills and get into him.
Oh, that's true. Because a therapist could probably write a script, right?
Two different things. Yeah, psychiatrist and psychologist are two different things.
Well, for this purpose, let's just assume that that's exactly what happened.
I think we all know Jim Irsay's history enough to be pretty sure that finding pills is not really the issue for him.
That's fair. He did have
supply seems to be pretty seems to be pretty plentiful, but
he had $2,000 in a briefcase with about 15 prescriptions. So I think he knows what he's doing. But I'm glad this happened. Like complete turmoil. It's awesome. I hope they hire someone that's just as bad as the last guy. And I hope they keep Pagano forever because I don't think he's a good coach.
Oh, I was hoping they'd keep Grigson at least through the draft. You know, let him go get another crack at it because I think they've drafted poorly. And, you know, and then we could have the whole debate again all next season about, oh, they're wasting Andrew Luck. Like ESPN's been milking the past two seasons.
Well, I mean, I think the stunning thing about it to show the complete dysfunction that's going on up in Indianapolis is that Jim Irsay waits like 20 days, almost 3 weeks after their season is over to make this move. Everybody just assumes that you wait that long to make that move because you have the next guy in place in mind, you know, pretty much on the hook, like he was going to make a hire the next day. And that's not the case at all. Like, they're just shuffling through the same guys who turned down the 49ers, essentially, and they've got a dude named Jimmy Ray that's been, I guess, their scouting guy for the past little bit, which, you know, why you would elevate someone in that scouting department, I have no idea. But, you know, that, too, is sort of handling their draft process as it's going right now. And, you know, that's not even handling a critical free agency period that's coming up pretty quickly. I mean, Paul Kaharsky tweeted it out, so I guess maybe we'll end this on your yes or no. Are the Titans right now the most functional front office and coaching staff relationship and ownership relationship in the AFC South for the first time in a while? Brandon, what say you?
Oh, there's a case to be made. And if we're not the top, we're second. You know, I think if Robinson puts together another quality offseason, you know, because we're just going off the one, but it was a really good one, then I would put us over the Texans. But if it's not the Texans, it's us. I think that what the Texans coaching staff did with nothing at quarterback all year is really impressive, and regardless of my, you know, the hatred I have for them, Rick Smith has put together a good roster, and that's, you know, I think that's our competition there. How about you, Matt?
I mean, I'm going to take the team that didn't just sign Brock Osweiler to that contract. That would be the biggest competition. And they completely screwed that. I don't care what they did on defense. Like, if you compare the two big moves that the teams made, like, last offseason, we got DeMarco Murray on sale, and now he's in the Pro Bowl starting. So, yeah, I'm taking us for sure. The Jags are so ridiculously bad, and Jim Irsay has no clue what's going on. So, it's a no-brainer.
All right. Well, that pretty much wraps it up for this edition. Please find us on social media. We're on Twitter. I'm at Drunkest Droog. August is at August West_MCM. Matt is at Matt Neely _, and Danomite's at DanomiteTN. Let us know any topics, questions, anything for the mailbag. We gotta all bond together this off season, and we will talk to you next week.